We turn now to the Word of God, as we read it in the Bible in Psalm 128. We continue our series of messages through the Psalms, and this morning I thought we would reflect on this beautiful psalm, which I've entitled, A Song Celebrating the Godly Home. As you will notice, it is a brief psalm, but one, for all its briefness, has a lot of things in it, a lot of meaning, a lot of truth that we can certainly feast upon this morning. And the entire psalm congregation will also be constituting the text for our message. Psalm 128, the Word of God reads as follows, Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. May God's Holy Spirit now direct us into the meaning and message of His holy word for us today. And dear friends in Christ, congregation of God's people, it is not unusual to walk into someone's home and to see, as you enter, a plaque in the entryway, or perhaps a neatly embroidered wall hanging that bears an expression such as this, home, sweet home, or home is where the heart is, or there is no place like home. Yes, people like to think of their homes as being wonderful places to be at or to come to, places where you can relax, where you can be yourself, where you can sit in an easy chair or around the table and enjoy conversation or a meal or a cup of coffee with your family and friends. But is all that still true of many homes and typical families in our society today? How true is all of this still of your home? Somebody once said, the nearest thing to heaven on earth is a happy home. But to establish and maintain such a happy home on earth is not so easily done. Well, this morning we'd like to speak about the Christian home or the godly home, where happiness can be experienced in its truest and deepest sense, the home which is built upon the foundation of God's own covenant love for us and upon our obedience and service to Him. And need I say, do we ever need such homes today? Because we live in an age where the godly family, the Christian family, is under constant assault and becoming more and more an unknown entity. All you have to do is to look at your television screens to know how constantly our Christian principles and practices are scoffed at or undermined. In the sitcoms, in the primetime shows, even in the cartoon shows, respect for authority, respect for parents, respect for marriage, respect for our bodies, respect for purity, respect for life, respect for God. Every one of these values is mocked daily in our world today. In fact, kids and young people are being told today by the media insistently and by the rock stars and the Hollywood crowd that all of these traditional values are passé. They're old-fashioned. They no longer apply in our modern world. And the result of this battle against biblical morality and spirituality has become increasingly evident. The homosexual movement has already made tremendous inroads with an increasing number of people, especially, by the way, younger adults, the newer generation, willing to accept gay marriage. New York State is poised to become the next state and the largest state in the country to allow homosexual marriages. Homosexuals are allowed to adopt children now in many states and rear them as if they're in a normal family. And yes, children are being taught in many public schools that such families are perfectly fine. Child abuse is a pervasive problem in homes today. An increasing number of families have been torn apart by divorce, and their children end up suffering from it as much, if not more so, than their parents. And so I ask you, to what extent is it really still true these days that there is no place like home? And so we desperately need today our homes which are godly and which follow God's standards for a happy home. And that's exactly what we have here in Psalm 128. This is a song, people of God, celebrating the godly home. Now let me give you a little further introduction to this psalm, as I've been doing with all the psalms so far in our series, before we turn to the content of the psalm. You notice that the superscription, what reads above the psalm, says, "A Song of Ascents." The title placed above, a collection, by the way, of 15 psalms, Psalms 120 through 134. All of them are called Songs of Ascents. And they're called that because these songs, you see, were sung by the Israelites as they ascended the hills on which the city of Jerusalem was built, especially that hill called Mount Zion on which the temple of the Lord stood. When God's people went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the various festivals held there, as they drew near to the city and saw it in the distance and its hills, they would sing these songs of the Psalms in praise to God, expressing their faith in Him and their devotion to Him in music. And they did so, no doubt, as families, because the children would often accompany their parents to Jerusalem, as Jesus did, you remember, when He was 12 years old with His parents. And as they saw the holy city and the hills rising above them, they would sing words like the words of Psalm 121, "I lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth." I remember when our family was young and we took a vacation with our children, and the trip was kind of long and tiring. But when we got close to our destination, we would start singing in our car. We were happy to see that we were almost there. And so you can imagine these Israelites, for whom it was almost all on foot, by the way, from wherever they lived in Israel, and they would walk on that long, dusty journey to get to Jerusalem, and when they would see the hills there, they would burst out into singing. That's what we have here in Psalms 120 through 134, songs of ascents. And now Psalm 128 was one of those. And here the people of the Israelites took on their lips a song celebrating the godly home. Let's look at what they celebrated and what they sang here in this psalm. And as I go through this psalm, I want to point out four traits of a godly home indicated in it. And for easy memory, as you see from the bulletin, they all start with the letter F. First, the godly home that we celebrate is one where the fear of the Lord prevails. The psalm begins with that important quality. Listen to verse 1. "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways." Now, we use that expression quite often in the church, fear the Lord, because it occurs frequently in the Bible. But what exactly does it mean to fear the Lord? The Hebrew word for fear can mean what we normally think of it as meaning, being afraid of someone or something. But that same word can also indicate reverence for something. And those two meanings are not totally disconnected. We may have a healthy fear of fire because we're afraid of its devastating power. We respect the power of fire. And so when Scripture mentions the fear of the Lord, it means we have a healthy respect for God, arising out of reverence for Him, for His power, for His holiness, for all His being. However, I would say the main idea of the fear of the Lord for God's people is similar to the attitude that we as children have for our earthly fathers, whom we honor on this Father's Day. And that fear includes, above all, a love for our fathers, combined with a reverence or respect for them, along with a trust in them and a submission to their authority. Because fear, in the sense of being afraid, should never be the primary attitude of a child toward his father. If a child is afraid of his father, there's something wrong. Oh, we sometimes have to be a little bit afraid, like when we have done something wrong and we need to be disciplined. But our constant attitude should never be one of fear of our fathers. No, we need indeed to, in the biblical sense, we need to love our fathers and respect them for who they are. In the same sense, we must love God and honor God for who he is and reverence him because he is our God and Lord. He is Jehovah, our covenant Lord. And you see, now that's the fear of the Lord which characterizes a godly home. Everyone in that home, the father, the mother, the children, must trust in and reverence the Lord. And that should be evident in everything that we do as families. It should be evident in our family devotions, first of all. We pray to God and we read his word around the table. Because you see, we fear the Lord. We love the Lord and honor him. But the fear of God should also be displayed in our attitude towards one another, in how we speak about God, how we speak about his word. Indeed, that fear of God should be shown in all of our daily life, in all of our deeds. Because notice verse 1 adds, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. Walking in his ways refers to our way of life. It means that our ways, our actions, our conduct must be God's ways, the path of obedience that he himself has laid out for us. And as New Testament Christians, we should know that the only way that we can really fear the Lord and walk in his ways is if Jesus Christ, his Son, is indeed the one we love and trust in, is our Savior and also our Lord whom we follow. Oh, how important it is to have that living faith and fear of Christ in our homes. It's the foundation of a godly home, a Christian home. It begins with the fear of the Lord. As Proverbs 9, verse 10 puts it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. True wisdom, you know, is knowing, believing, and serving the Lord. That's wisdom. Now, how does such a home acquire that wisdom? And how does the fear of the Lord become the prevailing attitude in our families? Well, let me point out a second trait of the godly home mentioned in Psalm 128, and that's the quality of fruitfulness. Listen to verse 2 of the psalm. It says, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Now, you notice how the song here begins to address a particular person. It used the singular pronoun you. And who is that you? It's a reference here to the father of the family. And why is he singled out? Because you see, he's the head of the family. That's what every father is or ought to be, the head of his home. That simply means he is ultimately responsible for the well-being of his family, especially for the spiritual well-being of his family. And if he takes that responsibility seriously, he will not only be a good father and a good husband, but he will also be a fruitful leader of his family. That's what verse 2 indicates when it says, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Now, the main reference there is to material blessings. Those who work diligently as God-fearing laborers will receive God's reward. They'll be able to provide for their families. They will even enjoy prosperity. But now this is not a promise of riches, nor does it mean that we will never have times, as I know some of you fathers here have, difficult economic times that you have to deal with. You must never, however, equate material riches with prosperity and happiness. People may say that we live in a prosperous country, which we do, even though economically I realize things are rather shaky at this time. But even if we as a nation or individually were economically wealthy and prosperous, but were morally decadent and spiritually corrupt, we would not be a prosperous nation or a prosperous person. To be prosperous in biblical terms means we are enjoying the Lord's blessing. We're healthy and happy as his children. The children of family centuries, a century or so ago, or maybe even less, some of you may be able to identify with what I'm about to say, who knew nothing about malls, nothing about iPods, or numerous other toys and gadgets that we have today. But you know, those children were still happy. Many of them, I would say, probably even happier than many children are today, even though they had much less. In any case, God does provide for us. That we do have to remember. He does provide for us through the fruitful labor of a godly father. His blessing rests upon us if we do our best for our family's needs through our diligent labors. The high unemployment rate today is hard on men and their families. But you know what is even more worrisome to me is that so many men no longer look for work, or may even come to be content with not working or and depending on the welfare system of the country for their needs. I do not say this out of lack of sympathy for those who cannot find work and need extra help in difficult times, but there are also millions of persons who are just as happy to live off of the government without making any effort to find work. And that is going to destroy our economic well-being. But blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who does the will of God as a husband, as a father, as a worker, and in every other endeavor of his life, who provides for and leads his family to honor and to serve the Lord. And so that's what we read in verse 4. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. That God-fearing man is a fruitful man, and father and his family will prosper. And alongside of him is another person who is fruitful in her role, and that's the God-fearing mother and wife. And notice that she too is singled out in this wonderful song. She's mentioned specifically in verse 3 of the psalm, which says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Other versions say your children will be like olive shoots around your table. The wife is compared here to a fruitful vine, meaning, we're talking about a grapevine actually, with its rich cluster of grapes, which were commonly grown in Israel. What's the point of the comparison? How is the Christian wife and mother fruitful? And well, of course, initially it's in her bearing of children, who are like the olive shoots around the table. They are the heritage of the Lord. As Psalm 127, another Song of Ascent says in verse 3, children are the reward from God. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And it's his reward in a very special way to covenant parents, because these children are the objects of God's special grace, as signified in the sacrament of baptism, which we administer here this morning. The sign of baptism signifies that these children are God's children who receive the promise of his love and salvation. To be sure, they must receive that promise by faith when they grow up and mature. They must show themselves to be true children of God, of the Heavenly Father. But that ultimately requires the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, which is therefore something that we must constantly pray for. That our children, born in also in our Christian homes, may grow up to truly love the Lord and trust in his Son. At the same time, Christian parents are duty-bound to rear their children to know God and trust in him. And the godly father as well as the godly mother has a key role in this. As a fruitful vine in her house, the mother not only bears the children, but she also cares for them, and she leads them by her faith and by her example. That's also her fruitfulness. All of her deeds dedicated to her children and to her family. That remains the key, most important task of mothers, godly mothers. I realize full well that the modern woman is involved in much more than her tasks in the home. I know women constitute, I think, over half now of the labor force in our country. And they do so capably with many gifts and talents. But a woman who is a mother of children and trusted to her by God must never forget that no matter what else she does, her main task, her greatest fruitfulness lies in her service as a mother in her home. There she can make an eternal impact upon the lives and the souls of the children given to her to rear and to nurture, who are like tender shoots around the table. She, alongside her husband, can and must provide a home that is truly fruitful for God. My dear friends, I don't think God will ever ask us someday, us mothers and fathers, how much did you make? How successful were you in your career? But I know he will ask us, did you do your best to rear your children in the fear of the Lord? Did you bring them to my feet and lead them to know my salvation and teach them my ways? And that brings me to a third trait of a godly home indicated in Psalm 128, and that's the quality of fellowship. Fellowship. Now, fellowship has become somewhat of a trivialized, even a buzzword, if you will, in religious talk today. We like to emphasize that the church is a fellowship, which it is. We're a fellowship of believers. But you know where fellowship really begins? It begins at home. And it's the heart of a happy home. We're not just individuals in our families. We shouldn't be. We're a family. And that truth is painted for us here in the last part of verse 4. I've already quoted it, which says, your sons or children will be like olive shoots around your table. What we have described here is a picture of family fellowship and togetherness. And that fellowship is seen most typically by the family sitting around the table, where we eat together, where we talk together. I do sometimes wonder how often that still happens in our homes today. I hope a lot. But we all realize that families are much more on the go these days. Life is busy, even hectic many times, whether from necessity or of our own doing. Dad is over there, mom is somewhere else, the kids are all off to one or another friends or doing some other activities. And that's why I asked as I began this morning, is it really still true of us? There's no place like home. And yet that makes it all the more urgent that we do not allow the schedule and the pace of life to rob us of those times when we sit around the table and eat and talk together. You know, Sundays are an excellent day for this, for families being together and around the table, and other days of the week too. We must do all we can to be together at least for one or two of our meal times. Our family fellowship is an important occasion for conversation, for sharing our experiences, for staying close as a family, for staying close together to the Lord. That's why family devotions are not just a tradition. They are a way of staying spiritually united. They are part of our fellowship around God's Word. Oh, what a blessing family fellowship is. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. And now let me turn finally this morning to yet one more quality of a godly home mentioned in Psalm 128. And this is one that we cannot produce ourselves. But this is one which is given to us. And that is the favor of our covenant God. I have a feeling that some of you may be thinking this morning that I am painting a pretty idealistic picture of a family. A home with the fear of the Lord and where the fruit of his blessings abound, where we can enjoy rich fellowship. It sounds all too good to be true, to be possible. Who has a home like that? Well, it'd be wonderful if we all did. But you are right in the sense, it is an ideal. There is no perfect home on earth. We all know that our homes, just like our houses, are in constant need of repair and of maintenance and of improvements. But there's also, remember, a promise, an assurance God gives us in Psalm 128. It is His own gracious favor on our homes and families which strive to be what God wants them to be. And that's why the psalm concludes in verse 5 by saying, "May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life." And then come some more specific blessings. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. You see, a godly home shows God's favor upon us in more than one way. It's not only a blessing for the family itself, but it's also a way that God blesses the church, which is His covenant family. When a child is baptized, it's the fulfillment of the promise that God is the God of our families. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, it says here, which is just an Old Testament way of saying God's covenant people. May you see the prosperity of the church, we could say today. And what a blessing Christian homes are for the church. Remember that the family is still the primary way by which God grows His church. We indeed must go out and gather in many, many more into the fellowship of God. We must be faithful in our mission support. But it begins at home. Remember, they're the primary means of church growth. And you can't have a strong church without strong Christian families. Our homes must be the training grounds for workers who will take their place in God's church and kingdom and advance His cause and gospel in the world. And what a blessing a godly home is for those who have gone before us, the generations who precede us. It says, may you live to see your children's children, a desire expressed here in this song. There are no doubt grandparents, many grandparents here this morning, even great-grandparents, who are privileged to see their children's children follow them in believing in Christ and serving the Lord. What an encouragement and a joy for parents and for grandparents to see God's blessing and fruitfulness upon their posterity. And our final prayer is that the faith of our fathers, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword, may also be the faith of our children. That they too may follow in that pathway of faith no matter what happens to them or in this world. And those homes which are faithful to God, strive to be godly, fear Him, honor Him, will experience His ultimate blessing. They will receive His peace. Peace be upon Israel is the ending of the song of a godly home. Peace upon Israel. What is that peace? It is the favor of God. It's the shalom, the grace and the love and the goodness of God, which He bestows on all those who belong to Him and fear Him, and are members of Israel, of His redeemed people, of all races, ages, and places. May that peace of God rest upon our homes. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the encouragement and instruction of Your word this morning. Thank You for this beautiful portion of Your holy word, which we're able to meditate upon for a while, as it speaks of the godly home. And may the song that we have heard explained here be the song that also proceeds from our lips, yes, from our hearts. May this be also our expression of love, faith, and devotion to You as we ascend to Your holy hill. As we lift up our eyes to You, the God who is, the God who reigns, the God who saves. May we, O Lord, too, recommit ourselves to being a godly home. And we pray that such godly homes may then be nurtured and strengthened in our midst and everywhere. Father, thank you for your promises to us when we fear you and honor you also in our families. And so bless our families and dear ones, we pray. May this be a special day for us all. May it be a day indeed in which we gather around our tables and in our homes to rejoice not only over your material and physical blessings, but above all your love and spiritual blessings to us in our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.